Bats don't have the best reputation. Besides an unfortunate association with Count Dracula, many people just find them plain creepy. But the nocturnal mammals actually play an important role in the ecosystem. That's why scientists are worried about the widespread fungal disease known as white nose syndrome that's killing off bats around the country. The northern long-eared bat has been one of the hardest-hit species and was recently placed on the threatened species list by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Here to talk about that threat that white nose syndrome poses to bats in Michigan and beyond is Rob Myas. Rob is the founder and executive director of the Organization for Bat Conservation, based in Bloomfield Hills. Rob, welcome to Current State.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Some listeners have probably seen pictures of bats with a white fuzz covering their faces. What is that fuzz exactly?
Yeah, and it's not just their faces, but actually all over their skin. But it was the easiest thing, part on their body that stands out. So we call it white nose syndrome. It's a condition that's being caused by an invasive species of fungus. And this fungus came from Central Europe about 10 years ago to North America.
And how exactly does the fungus kill the bat?
Well, it doesn't kill the bat. What it does is it wears the bats down. So when bats go into hibernate for the winter, they go into caves and mines, so they go underground so they don't freeze to death. And they go into true hibernation for many months. And when this fungus got here to the United States, it thrives in this cold, humid climate, and it grows on the cave wall, in the soil, and then on the bats, and it wakes them up too many times, and they end up starving before the winter is over.
Mm. How does it spread?
Well, we've been researching this for less than 10 years. One is we know that it spreads really fast. It was in one county in New York 10 years ago. It's now in 30 states, 5 provinces in Canada, and about 1 million bats a year are dying from this fungus. And I'll be honest with you, this will be the biggest wildlife catastrophe in the last 100 years once it gets all the way across North America. One way is potentially humans, spreading it from cave to cave. But we also know that bats are also spreading it, obviously, because they're migratory and they're social.
Well, could climate play a role in keeping it from spreading across the whole country, though?
Possibly. Climate's also playing a role in the probability that it is affecting bats so much is the increased temperature, the changes that's been going on in these caves. That's just perfect for this invasive species. Absolutely, we're definitely hoping maybe it's the mountain ranges. We don't know everything about bat migration. So we do know that bats migrate a lot north and south, but not as much east and west. So there may be a point where the fungus stops spreading.
We're talking with Rob Myas. Rob's the founder and executive director of the Organization for Bat Conservation in Bloomfield Hills. We're talking about the impact of white nose syndrome on bats in Michigan and around the country. Let's focus in on Michigan a little bit more closely here, Rob. How extensive has the damage been to Michigan bat populations affected by white nose syndrome?
So the fungus got here about 10 years ago to North America. It didn't get to Michigan until 2 years ago, so it has not been here for very long. The Great Lakes held it off for a little while. And unfortunately, though, some of the Great Lakes states have really been, hit hard over the last couple of years, and we're seeing anywhere from 75 to 90% mortality after a couple of years. In Michigan, this winter we'll probably be looking at 50% mortality or death in these caves and mines.
And remind our listeners why bats are so important to ecosystems.
Thanks for asking, because I think that's a really important part to mention. Because one is, animals and plants are interesting in their own right, but bats particularly provide huge economic and ecological benefits to humans in Michigan. We benefit because bats are the primary predators of nighttime insects. They eat more moths and beetles than anything else in Michigan does, and moths and beetles destroy our crops, our gardens, and our forests. Our forests make us money. Our forests are beautiful. They provide recreation. You know, obviously, our crops and our backyard gardens provide food for us. So bats do this service for free. And then, obviously, with less bats means we'll end up spraying more pesticides or have more damage.
They're also important pollinators, as I understand.
Correct. Not in Michigan, but we do have bats that are pollinators in the Southwest and then down into Central and South America, and they spread seeds as well. You know, there's most people don't know this, but there are many different types of plants that completely rely on bats for pollination and seed dispersal. A lot of things we eat on a regular basis, from bananas, avocados, dates, and figs, and agave that we make tequila from is only pollinated by bats.
So have the way you describe the surroundings that the bats prefer, the damp, cold caves where they hang out, does that mean that warmer parts of the country have been less affected by white nose syndrome?
That's a great observation, and that's absolutely true. So, you know, bats in Texas, you know, southern Texas or Mexico, or you know, even in the very southern parts of the United States, probably are not going to be affected by this fungus because they don't hibernate. There are a couple of species here in Michigan, one in particular called the red bat. They migrate to warmer temperatures. They don't hibernate. They don't go into caves over the winter, so they should not be affected by the fungus. So not all bats are being affected, but most are. And the bats that are being affected greatly, huge numbers. Here's a huge problem to go along with this, is that bats are not rodents. They're not breeders like rodents are. Bats generally have one baby once a year. To make it to 1 year old is probably 10 to 20% chance of making it to 1 year old. So they're not reproducing very quickly. So when we drop our numbers, down 90%, we're going to see it'll take a century for bats to rebound.
Mm. Is it expected to keep spreading in the state? I mean, it hasn't been that long since we discovered it, just a couple of years ago.
Michigan's also an interesting state because we really, you know, we don't have caves. It's not like southern Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Missouri, you know, those great limestone caves. We do have mines, you know, our copper mines and places like that in the Upper Peninsula. So we don't have a lot of bats that actually hibernate in Michigan. But over the last few years, we actually have been seeing the effects of white nose syndrome because bats fly south to Kentucky to hibernate for the winter, and the fungus has been in Kentucky for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So we already actually have been seeing less bats. People have been telling me that for the last few years. And this is a really big deal. So generally, unfortunately, the fungus is well across the state of Michigan. People are really not going to see dead bats with white nose on their faces because, one, we don't have the caves. Two, when they come out of the caves, the fungus goes away. During the summer, the bats aren't affected by it. The fungus doesn't affect humans. It's not a problem for humans or anything else. But, you know, there's a lot of things that people can do in their backyards to help bats out.
Well, tell us a couple.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are really concerned. You know, people do hear, boy, I know that bats are good. Yeah, you know, like you brought up at the beginning, a lot of people fear bats or they think that they're creepy. That's fine. You can think bats are creepy. Just understand how important that they are. It's the same way with bees. You know, I remember as a kid, my mom saw bees, she killed them. And now we're happy to see bees, right? Because we know that they're pollinators. Well, bats kind of are that same way. We need to make sure that we see bats in our neighborhoods. Putting up bat houses is one of the best things people can do. It gives bats an alternative so they don't live in their house. You know, a lot of houses in Lansing and in older you know, communities have a lot of holes and places that bats and other wildlife can hide in. So giving bats an alternative, but keeping bats in our neighborhood so they eat a lot of insects, it's a healthy way. And then planting gardens will benefit, you know, wildlife gardens with native species of plants will benefit bees, bats, butterflies, and birds.
Who is tracking this, Rob? I mean, I know you've got your eye on it here with your organization in Bloomfield
Sure.
Hills, but who at the state level, government, wherever, who is tracking this?
You know, this is actually one of the best things that's come out of this. Sometimes, you know, you do need a tragedy to bring everybody together. And this really has brought everybody together and working collaboratively from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, who's really spearheading this in the state of Michigan, to the U.S. Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is organizing and managing this nationwide, along with universities and other nonprofit organizations. And people can get a lot more information, you know, online. The Michigan Department of Natural Resources has information. If you find an injured bat or a bat that has potentially with white nose syndrome, you can log on, just like with any other wildlife, you can log on and report it, and they'll come out, you know, they'll send somebody out to come and investigate. But the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is whitenosesyndrome.org. Has everything white nose syndrome you'd ever want to read. And then our website, backconservation.org, has a lot of information kind of more for the homeowner and teachers and stuff like that to help educate, you know, kids, and then activities to do in your backyard to help bats.
Rob Myas is my guest. He is the founder and executive director of the Organization for Bat Conservation in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. We're talking about the impact of white nose syndrome on bats here in Michigan and around the country. Is there anything that can be done, Rob, after a bat's been hit by the fungus, or is this all about limiting the spread of the disease?
Both, right? That's another great question. So one is, could we limit it? And that's one of the things that we're pushing really hard to do. What could be done for the bats that already have it? So we've made a lot of progress in labs across North America studying the fungus in the laboratory. There are a lot of agents, there are a lot of things, including a bacteria that naturally kills fungus. And so we've been able to do that in the lab. And this winter is the very first winter that we actually have multiple trials, especially around here in the Great Lakes, because we're right on the leading edge of this terrible disease. That the bats, that there are treatments right now being conducted in the wild to see if we can knock out this fungus. What's interesting, though, is, you know, if the bats weren't waking up in February from this fungus, and they were waking up in March or April when there were insects flying around, they would be perfectly fine. It's the fact that they've woken up too many times during the winter. The metabolism has been changed. They've eaten up. They've worn off all their excess energy and body fat, and they starve to death because there's no food left.
Rob, how does one come to form an organization for bat conservation? How did you get into this?
Really interesting. You know, I worked with Dr. Alan Curta at Eastern Michigan University, one of the leading bat researchers in the country. He still studies bats here in Michigan. He's the leading authority on the natural history of bats of Michigan. And I got a chance to work with other grad students in the swamps of Michigan. Got bit by a lot of mosquitoes, but what I realized was that bats were so critically important, and nobody knew it. That I had to do something extra. You know, I thought, well, I'll be a professor. I'll do wonderful things at a university, or I'll go work for the Fish and Wildlife Service. Instead, I started my own nonprofit organization, and we travel all over the country. You know, I've written books and been on television, and we're a spokesperson or spokesgroup for bats, and it's really made a huge difference over the last 20 years of existence.
Rob Myas is the executive director of the Organization for Bat Conservation in Bloomfield Hills. We've been talking about the threat that white nose syndrome poses to bats here in our state and beyond. Rob, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks so much. And again, you know, the listeners can check out our Save the Bats campaign. And it's all about being educated and getting activated to help bats out in their backyards.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.